You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin, generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits. T-shirts that get it.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to Hour 2 of the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. Hopefully everybody had a glorious weekend. Jackson is starting to heat up just a little bit. Did I see it's supposed to be like 90, 95 today?
Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's getting up there. It's getting hot here in Lincoln.
Brad. You like hot weather?
I'm used to it.
That's not what I asked. I said, do you like hot weather?
It depends.
So I'm one of those guys, I like different weather. Like, if I go outside, like legit, if it's 5 degrees and snowing, I'm happy. If it's like damp and raining and it's like 50, I'm happy. If I go outside and it's like, I don't want to say triple digits, but like 90, 95, I'm not a fan of humidity, honestly, but 90, 95 with some humidity, it's okay with that. That's what a pool's for. That's what a river is for. A lake is for. The only type of weather I don't like, and this is a really bad pun, okay, I don't like the wind. It literally blows, in my opinion. Okay, it's the one thing I just like. I can't stand the wind, but I love different types of weather.
Get some wind up here, that's for sure.
Well, it gets a little bit windy around here.
Oh, man.
But Jackson, I'm used to it.
Yeah,
there
you go.
Use your line. I'm used to it.
There you go.
It doesn't mean I got to like it, though.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, your daily reminder, if you're so inclined, check out the inaugural Carriker Chronicles football camp here in Lincoln, Nebraska, at the LYF Lincoln Youth Football Fields. The camp that is for the kids. All right, the kids can learn the basics and fundamentals, take their game to the next level, learn from such guys as Eric Crouch, Amon Green, Zach Wieger, Kenny Wilhite, and yours truly, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. July 9th. Autographs, T-shirts included. It's for boys and girls, kindergarten through 8th grade. If you want to learn more, go to CarrickerChronicles.com. If you want to register for the Carriker Chronicles football camp, go to CarrickerChronicles.com. All right, my man. What do you think the odds are that Ndamukong Suh, he's one of the 79 players on the 2026 ballot for the National Football Foundation College Football Hall of Fame. Well, that's a short name to say. Let me say that again.
Oh,
I actually said it right, too. National Football Foundation College Football Hall of Fame. Say that three times fast.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is. All right. Suh is included on the ballot in his first year of eligibility. All right. So before I go through some of these, this info I have in front of me, what do you think the odds are he's a College Football Hall of Famer soon?
I would have to say, based off of his career here at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, they're pretty high. That's just my personal opinion.
My estimation is somewhere between 100 to 200% likely he'll get in.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
I think that's a fair.
That's very fair. All right. So, I mean, I could read all of these accolades, and they deserve to be talked about. I'll pick some of the ones that stand out the most. He was the first defensive player to win the Associated Press College Player of the Year since the inception of the honor in 1998. Suh was the first defensive tackle invited to the Heisman ceremony in New York since Warren Sapp in 1994. All right, Rich Glover, for those who may recall, was invited in 1972. So Suh finished fourth in the Heisman. Mark Ingram won it that year. Mark Ingram, congratulations. With all due respect, I personally think Suh should have won it, but I'm just a little too whole lot a bit biased. Also, I think it should have been Sue's trophy, but Mark Ingram's a great player as well. Suh finished fourth. Do you know what place? So Johnny Rogers won it that year. Do you know what place Rich Glover finished?
Third.
Nice. Very impressive. Nice pull right there. So, but he was the first one to be invited to New York since Warren Sapp in 1994. Suh's fourth place finish in the voting tied for the best by a defensive lineman since Nebraska's. There we go. Hold on. Okay. Rich Glover was third in 1972. I thought I was going to say fourth. Yeah. So his, let's read that again. Suh's fourth place finish in the voting tied for the best by a defensive lineman since Nebraska's. Rich Glover was third in 1972. Suh also received the highest ever point total for a fourth place finisher, and his 161 first-place votes were the most ever for an interior defensive lineman. He also won the Outland Trophy. All right, let's see what else we got here. The Rotary Lombardi Award to become the fifth Husker to do so. He became the fourth Husker to sweep the Lombardi and Outland Trophy Award in the same season, joining Rich Glover from 1972, Dave Remington in 1982, and Dean Steinkuhler, who, in my humble opinion, is not talked about enough, in 1983. All right, here's a trivia question for you. Who were the top two draft picks in the 1984 NFL draft? Oh, I'll give you a hint. They were both Huskers.
No, 1984. Oh, I have no clue.
Number one was Irving Fryer. Number two.
I was going to say Irving, but for some reason I was like, that was earlier. I was wrong.
No. Well, it was following the 83 season. So the 84 draft.
Oh,
that
okay.
Next spring.
Well, then, yeah.
Irving Fryer was number one. Dean Steinkuhler was number two.
Right. I don't think I knew about Dean. I always knew Irving Fryer was.
I'm telling you, he's not talked about enough. All right. Great player. All right, he made a clean sweep of the National Defensive Player of the Year awards by winning the Chuck Bednarik Award, Bronco Nagurski Award. Sue was the first Husker to receive both of those awards, and he became just the fifth player to sweep those awards. Most recently, Miami's Dan Morgan did it in 2000. All right, in addition to the awards he won, Sue was also a finalist for the Walter Camp Player of the Year and the Lott Trophy. I'm actually a panelist on the Lott Trophy Impact Award, so I get a vote on that each and every year, so that's pretty cool. It was named the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. Sue was named the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year by the league's coaches and every major outlet that chose a Defender of the Year. He was the first Nebraska defensive player to win the Big 12 Player of the Year honor since Grant Wistrom did it in 1996 and 1997. So again, the odds of Sue getting into the College Football Hall of Fame are somewhere between 100 and 200, or the percentage chance he gets in is somewhere between 100 and 200%.
Yeah.
All right. What do you want to discuss first? I'll let you choose. You want to discuss our new punter, or do you want to do Nebraska football recruiting updates?
I think we can kind of do the recruiting updates, and that kind of ties in with the punter. So,
perfect.
Yeah, let's flow into that.
Perfect. All right, here we go. Now, June is a big-time month for University of Nebraska and recruiting. So there's a lot of guys that they're targeting, to be clear. More guys than I'm even going to chat about here. But some of the guys that... Let me see. I want to highlight. All right. Highlight here are some guys such as wide receiver Nasir Rankin, 6'1", 160 pounds out of Chicago. Tight end Matt Ludwig, 6'4", 235 pounds out of Billings, Montana. Have you ever been to Montana?
I have not. I have never been to Montana.
I've been there a million times. My mom grew up in a log cabin outside of Lewis. Like, if you look at the center of Montana, dead in the center is a small town named Lewistown, Montana. That's where my mom grew up.
Hmm.
And my grandpa Warner, he built a log cabin about 6 miles outside of Lewistown. It's literally 100 acres out in the middle of the Montana wilderness, okay? And he built a log cabin. It's literally like it's a mountain. So it's literally on the side of the mountain. All right, you walk out, the ground is not level. It was kind of cool to see. And we'd go hiking all over the place. But I've been to Montana a million times. Thankfully, mostly in the summer. Only one time in the winter. So it's beautiful. I would talk to my grandparents. They'd be like, what's the weather there? It'd be like January, February. Oh, like negative 30. I was like, that's cold. They're like, ah, it's just Tuesday. Like, it was just typical for them.
Yeah.
Montana is beautiful. Even for a Nebraska guy, a little bit cold in the winter, though, I might say. But Billings is beautiful. My dad actually almost moved there. He got a job offer one time when I was a kid, but we did not move there. All right, Billings, Montana, Matt Ludwig, 6'4", 235 pounds. Now, he's currently committed to Michigan. All right, tight end Camden Jensen, 6'7", 220 pounds. Littleton, Colorado, 4-star. All right, Ludwig is a 4-star as well. Jackson Cantwell, highly sought after, 6'8", 300 pounds. All right, out of Missouri, 5-star. That number one commit in the entire country. He is currently committed to Miami, it seems. That may be a tough one to sway. Some of these are tougher than others to sway. Gregory Patrick, 6'5", 275 pounds, out of Michigan, 4-star. Defensive end Hunter Higgins, 6'5", 245, out of Wichita, Kansas, a 3-star, currently committed to Kansas. Linebacker Keenan Harris, 6'2", 220 pounds, out of St. Louis, Missouri, a 4-star, currently committed to Missouri. Guard Hudson Parliamount, 6'4", 285 pounds, a 4-star as well. Safety J.J. Dunnigan Jr., 6'2", 190 pounds, out of Manhattan, Kansas. All right, and linebacker Landon Bland, 6'4", 230 pounds, out of Carthage, Missouri. Now, those are the guys that are scheduled for visits, to be more specific. That's why I brought them up. Okay, here are some of the other guys that are not scheduled for visits just yet. There's currently a dozen or so players Nebraska has recruited over the last year or longer that currently do not have scheduled visits. Again, the Huskers haven't given up on this group and continue to try to get them in for official visits. While some may have already made up their minds, others have Guys change their mind all the time, so they may have second thoughts and give the Huskers another look. Wide receiver Cohen Brown, 6'4", 180 pounds, four-star out of Texas. Now, he is scheduled to visit Baylor and Notre Dame. Hopefully, Nebraska can get him into Lincoln. Athlete Jacob Eberhardt, 6'3", 210 pounds, out of Kirkwood, Missouri. Again, scheduled to Missouri and Illinois, a four-star recruit there. Hopefully, Nebraska can get him in. Tight end Isaac Jenkins, 6'6", 220 pounds, out of good old Omaha, Nebraska, three-star. Visit scheduled to Iowa State, Missouri, Florida State, and Texas A&M. Tight end Ian Premer, 6'5", 210 pounds, out of Great Bend, Kansas, three-star, with visits scheduled to Kansas State, Iowa State, Notre Dame, Kansas, and Michigan. All right, let's see here. It's a long list. I'm not going to read through each and every one of them. Essentially, another offensive tackle, 6'7", 310 pounds, out of Honolulu, Hawaii. He's one of those kids that you look at and you're like, this kid could contribute early, potentially early. All right, Malachi Lee. There's an offensive guard, Breck Colajay, 6'5", 294 pounds. Another offensive guard, 6'4", 280. Defensive end, Jamarian Carlton, 6'5", 230. Linebacker, Kaysen Thomas, 6'1", 190, out of Sioux City, Iowa.
You don't need to be ripped. You just need the right shirt. Epic Fits gives you a clean, confident silhouette. Snug on the arms, soft on the skin. Generous where it counts. And with deals like $15 per tee, they won't break the bank. Visit epicfits.com today. Epic Fits, t-shirts that get it.
All right, and a lot of these kids are scheduled to visit schools like Kansas, Missouri, Notre Dame, Baylor, Texas, Tennessee's on here quite a bit, Michigan, Alabama, Georgia. All right, defensive lineman Valden Sohn, 6'3", 315. Defensive lineman Jeremy Finch, 6'3", 260. Defensive end Titan Davis. An individual you've heard brought up quite a bit, 6'5", 255 pounds. Part of that is he has visits scheduled to Michigan, Alabama, USC, and canceled his official visit to Nebraska and rescheduled it to USC. So some of these look brighter than others. But man, how often do kids flip and change their mind nowadays? So it's one of those things where if you're Matt Rhule, you have to constantly recruit the kids who've already committed to you so they don't flip. And you got to constantly be recruiting other kids, even if they're committed elsewhere, because you never know when they might change their minds and flip and come to you. All right, now here's some of the actual scheduled visits. June 5th, tight end Luke Sorensen. All right, let's see. June 6th, safety C.J. Bruneau. Let's running back Brian Bonner, offensive tackle Kevin Obot. June 6th is a big day, by the way. Cornerback Jatavius Wyman, cornerback Camden Heimel, defensive lineman Cameron Wilson, interior offensive lineman Hayden Ainsworth, who, by the way, is 6'3", 305 already. Offensive tackle Matili Benjamin, who's 6'6", 305. Interior offensive lineman Ryan Merritt. Offensive tackle Rex Waterman. All right, and you go to June 13th, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 more visits. June 14th, Jade Warren's coming in. June 20th, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 more guys scheduled to visit. So they are hitting it hard. They have, for lack of a better way of putting it, they have deprioritized recruiting Nebraska kids first. All right. They have prioritized simply going after the best players that they see fit, period. And Matt Rhule said, I mean, it's been a few press conferences ago, but I think there's two reasons. Well, I don't think, based on what he said, there's two reasons for the change. He said, number one, we've seen Nebraska kids come in and we've seen them leave. So if you're going to in-state recruit, your thought is those kids are going to be more likely to stay here longer, ergo you have a better chance to develop them and actually have them play in your program, whereas out-of-state kids may be more likely to leave. Well, if you're bringing in Nebraska kids and they're leaving just like everyone else, then all of a sudden you're going to look at a Nebraska kid just the same as a Missouri kid or a Florida kid or a Texas kid, and now you're purely going to say there is no geographic advantage to us if they're just as likely to leave if they don't like what's going on. So now we're just going to go after the best players, period. And I'm curious to see how this unfolds. I do think contracts and revenue sharing is going to make it much, much, much less likely the kids just bounce around like a ping pong ball from school to school to school in the future. Again, I don't know how close we are to that, though. So I'm curious to see how this unfolds until those contracts. And there are some things that are being done now, to be clear. Okay. But I don't know how far away all that stuff is. Again, the light at the end of the tunnel is there. I just don't know how long the tunnel is. And I said this was kind of a swing for the fences type approach, because the other thing Matt Rhule said, he said, we're trying to beat Ohio State. We're trying to beat Michigan. We're trying to beat Penn State. with all due respect to the Big 12 schools. And he even said, I might go viral for this. And he kind of sort of did, but not really. Matt Rhule goes viral all the time for things that he says. This isn't one of them I saw kind of take off. But basically he's saying, I'm paraphrasing, we're not trying to beat Big 12 schools. We're trying to beat Big 10 schools. And the insinuation is that the Big 10 is on another level from the Big 12, which it is, and fair to say. So if kids are getting recruited and offers and committing to Iowa State, he's basically saying, I'm not going to go running to those kids just because they're from Nebraska, okay, because we're not trying to beat the same schools Iowa State is. We're trying to be in this conference over here, which we are in, but we're trying to win games over here, and that takes another level of player. Now, he did say he's open to all those kids. Matt Rhule's got like a million camps this summer. The Matt Rhule football camp, Friday Night Lights, 7-on-7, all these things he's doing. Come, let us get a firsthand look at you. We're not saying no. We're saying come to the camp. Let us get to know you more. Basically, they're looking across the country and they're taking a swing for the fences type approach, which I don't have an issue with because of who we are trying to compete with. It's one of those things where you may not get as a large volume of players in your classes. You might, but you also, the odds of that probably go down because of the type of player you're going after, and they're going to have so many more options and so much more money and NIL thrown at them. But it's almost about quantity over quality. Like if they come and they're happy and they're more likely to be able to play because they're really good players, and maybe there's not as many other players around them because they went to other schools, because maybe they didn't want to compete with the guy who came here. Not everyone wants to compete. Some people look for the easy way out sometimes. Some people want to compete and could care less. I think his approach is that's how we're going to win games going forward in the future. So two questions, Jackson. Did that all make sense? And what are your thoughts on it, my friend?
Yeah, no, I think it makes sense. I like the outlook of the recruiting in Nebraska. I mean, obviously, it's the Nebraska kids. You have an advantage to a sense because, you know, it's easy to drive to Omaha to go watch a game, or, you know, even in Lincoln, go watch a game, recruit them here. And obviously, there's a lot of kids that grow up here dreaming to wear the Scarlet and Cream. So it makes perfect sense why that's an advantage. But I totally get why he's just, let's branch out. I mean, the first commit of your 27 class is the number two overall quarterback from Illinois. Do you think Illinois would have had a great, great odds to get? And they did. They were in that final conversation for Trey Taylor. But, you know, he ultimately ends up coming here, and that's how you kick off the class. And now you got him here all week in a very important recruiting week here at Nebraska to peer recruit, which is fantastic. But yeah, it all makes sense. I like that we're in the conversation now, and it feels like we're recruiting at a higher level than it's ever been. I mean, it feels like 4-star is the minimum. And I know I say this all the time, stars don't matter, but to get these type of athletes in, it's just cool to see that a lot of these top guys that are getting offers from schools that are doing so many good things, you know, currently for Nebraska to be in that conversation is really cool. So I think Nebraska is doing great right now. I will be interested to see what Matt Rhule does here this week and through this and very important month of June for the football team.
Yeah. So real quick, do me a favor while I'm chatting here. Look through the text line if you don't mind. Let me know if there's anything from there we should chat about real quick. But I have no problem with what he's doing. I said it before. He's got to do what he believes is best. He also said in the press conference, you can't serve two masters. They've asked every coach before me basically for a long time to at some point leave. So he's trying to win football games, and this is the best way he sees fit because he wants to stay here and coach and keep coaching and win football games in Nebraska. So as far as how we're doing recruiting, all we know is the approach right now going forward. We know what his previous classes have looked like. I'm curious how many kids commit, how many stay committed, how many sign, how many come, how many stay here, don't transfer, and end up playing and contributing on the field. It's no different than in Florida or Texas or Washington or wherever else. It's the same process for everybody. Yeah. How does it work and how does it play out here at Nebraska for Matt Rhule with the way that he's approaching it? And again, he has to do what he believes is best. A coach, when he's saying I can't serve two masters, he's saying I can't do what everyone's telling me to do if I believe this is what's best, if the priority is to win. And that makes perfect sense to me. So I support it. I'm just intrigued by the quarterback position specifically. Daniel Kalen, not here. Fine with that. Happy to have Dylan, obviously. Okay, you look at Jet Tamala. It doesn't appear as though, I mean, we've got a quarterback in that class. You look at Braylon Warren, it's kind of the same thing. To be clear, love, okay, Trey Taylor. So excited for him. And he's doing the best peer recruiting he can. I can't wait to see what he's able to accomplish with that. That's just part of, like, he's got to make those decisions. These kids that are just up the road versus a kid who's maybe from Illinois or whatever the case may be. And how does that all play out? Again, that's why Matt Rhule gets paid the big bucks. We get paid far less to sit here and talk about what he's doing because he's the guy in charge getting paid the big bucks. Is there anything off the text line real quick, my friend?
Just Eric coming at us.
Coming at us. This sounds fun.
No, just this bleep 95 like today, Adam. When we were talking about the weather.
Oh, talking about the heat. Oh, he's not a fan of the heat. Well, if it's hot every day, I hate it. I just like changes in weather. Anyways, go ahead. I get it, though.
Someone just chimed in. Unknown Texture says, I get the thought that stars don't matter, but they really do. Look at the recruiting classes of national champs, and they're loaded with five and four stars, and it's really barely any threes anymore. It's definitely a fair assumption.
I mean, it's a fair point. I think, so when I was playing, the way they evaluated recruits and rated them, I don't think it was as reliable as it is now. The longer you do something, the better you're going to get at it.
Oh, yeah.
I can't. I watched five stars come in, and I watched them quit in the middle of drills. Not all of them. Just some guys are popping into my head right now. And I watched a particular five-star walk out of the Hawk Center in the middle of a winter conditioning set. Just walk right out, okay? And I watched him another one go head-to-head with a walk-on from Lincoln, Nebraska, a local high school, and kind of get embarrassed. Now, to be clear, that's not every situation. It's not every five-star. It's not every walk-on, okay? But I've always said, I don't care who you are when you walk through the doors, what you do once you're in the building. Now, to that texter's point, they're much better at evaluating who you are before you walk through the door than they were when I was here, which was 18 years ago, was my senior year. I got here in 02, so a little over 20 years ago. So they're better at evaluating and rating guys more accurately than they were before. But at the end of the day, you still got to come in. You still got to buy in. You still got to develop. You still got to get better. The reason the Big 12 doesn't recruit like the ACC even does. Not even close. All right. They've had one top 25 recruiting class the past 3 years in the Big 12. Yet they have top 20, top 25, top 15 teams.
Yeah.
Now, they're not going to consistently compete with Ohio State or, you know, these other schools that are top two or three every year. But if you're not at a top 25, 20, top 30, top 40 recruiting class, how are you a top 15 team? So development over time does matter. There are other things that matter. But Matt, even Matt Rhule said, man, I'm a much better coach the better players I have. It's funny how that works. All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, let's discuss our brand new punter. Don't go anywhere. We'll return.